on here. So if you have your Bible, you want to look at Psalm 126. And we're looking at the final two verses of that psalm. We looked at verses 1 through 4 a few weeks back. And here we read these familiar words. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. The last time we looked at this psalm and considered verses 1 through 4, we came to the conclusion that this was a psalm that was written once the Jewish people had returned to the land after a 70-year exile in Babylon. Do you remember that? So we would say that this is a post-exilic psalm. What we found out in the first four verses is that the people of Israel would have responded to this return in an emotional way, but a spiritual, practical way too. And that's the same with us. Of course, we're not returning from a 70-year exile. We're coming out of the exile that we were in sin, when sin had power over us. Now it no longer has power over us. And because of that, we too have an emotional but spiritual, practical response to that. Now that we come to verse 5 this evening, we have a general principle of sowing and reaping that is introduced to us. It's stated very succinctly. You can't miss it. But then when we get to verse 6, we have an exposition of that succinct statement. So he's fleshing out what he has stated in verse 5 in verse 6. So when Israel sowed, what was going on? Well, remember, when Israel sowed, they were rebuilding the walls, they were rebuilding the temple, and they were rebuilding even the spiritual religious worship, the sacrificial system. Everything was being rebuilt. They were coming back into the land. They rebuilt under very difficult circumstances. If you know anything about the history of Israel, you know that they faced all kinds of obstacles and enemies that were barring their way at every turn. And even once they rebuilt the temple, do you remember what the people who remembered the former temple thought about that? They looked at it and they knew that it couldn't compare the Solomon's temple and the glory of Solomon's temple, and they wept. And still, they sowed in tears, and God brought them joy and relief over the process of time. Really, an abundant harvest of joy. But of course, we know that that was temporal too. There is no temple even for the Jews to worship at today, because of their distance from God. Now, when we look at this text, we're saying to ourselves, well, I'm not rebuilding any walls. I'm not rebuilding a temple, and I'm certainly not rebuilding a sacrificial system of religion. So what's going on here? Well, what's going on is that the principle of sowing and reaping is still very sound. And that's what we take away from this passage. That's why I read to you Galatians 6 earlier. And so what we're looking at here is what we see in Galatians 6. Notice that the sowing that takes place in Galatians 6 is the sowing that is to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit, but he who sows to the Spirit will, it says, of the Spirit reap everlasting life. But then it says, formally, that if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. Now, because of the idea of everlasting life in the Galatians passage, we can really see that corruption is talking about what? Death. It's talking about everlasting death. It is possible for Christians to spend a lot of time on things that really, really don't matter. And when they do that, they are sowing death in life. Even things that have no eternal value at all. In other words, their lives are not spent building eternal equity. They're just kind of spinning their wheels in the temporal world in which we live. So that many times the Christian may not even look any bit different from those who are unsaved or unbelieving in this world. So there are basically two concepts tonight. The first concept is sorrow, and the second concept is joy. When we look at the idea of sorrow, the scripture teaches us that the Christian does not sow tears. He sows his life. Isn't that right? He sows his life, and he sows his life in tears to the Spirit. If we merge both of those passages, that's what we see before us. In order to reap joy. Now, that doesn't sound like the principle of sowing and reaping, because you would think, well, if I sow, you know, tears, then I'm going to reap tears. It's almost like, you know, I sow wheat, I expect wheat, not weeds. But God's economy is different from our economy. And that's the point of this passage. In other words, I am different than I was before I came to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And the default that I had when I was born was rebellion against God. I balled my fist up against God, and I worked my own life in arrogance, independently of God. I sowed, using myself as an example, an open, sinful life in rebellion to God. And I was moving not in the pleasure of His will, I was moving in the pleasure of my own will. And so because of that, I would have reaped corruption if it were not for God's grace and mercy that met me. As a matter of fact, once I gathered my right mind and I came to shelter under the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think back on that life and I wince, all right? Because I remember what was. And so we are humiliated, we are shamed by what was. In other words, tears. We're broken and contrite over the time that we wasted. So tears represent sorrow. Tears represent contrition. We see that in the life of Israel, certainly. They represent the same for us. You know, it's not just my past before I came to Christ that I'm sorrowful over. I mean, I'm sorrowful over things that I thought or did today or yesterday or the day before. Because all of us sin every day, and it seems like the closer we get to God, the more acutely we are aware of sin in our own lives. It won't do for us to remain superficial in our sorrow. You know, superficial sorrow is this idea of I'm wincing over the consequences that have come into my life. But if it's a godly sorrow that breaks me down, that's a sorrow that focuses upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that sorrow and His sacrifice for my sins, and I see that sacrifice more and more when I see sin in my own life. It's kind of a dichotomy because we don't like to think about that. And yet the more we think about it, the more grateful we are for the mercy that He has extended to us. The more aware of the unworthiness that we are before the Lord Jesus Christ, the more tenderly we walk before our God. We walk softer. We're not arrogant. We're not puffed up. Our Father waits for that. He waits for us to come to Him weeping. In other words, our supplications, our prayer is geared out of this need for mercy. He waits for the broken and the contrite heart. These He will not despise, the Scriptures teach. So that's the sorrow aspect. Now the joy aspect, if you sow in tears, the Bible says you'll reap in joy. However, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us. We want to say, well, if I have all this suffering going on, then it's just going to get more suffering. That's how I got saved, as a matter of fact. If things were not going well in my temporal life, I felt just a lot of torment inwardly, and I was struggling. And when I got saved, it was a result of understanding that there was eternal torment waiting for me. So I only saw that torment would not end. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I think that that's what this scripture passage is getting at. We sow in tears, but we don't reap those tears. We reap joy. Think of it in terms of night and day. In the night, that's where the sorrows are. That's where the things are hidden. That's where the nightmares take place. But joy comes in the morning. Joy comes at the break of day. There's a relief there. If you've ever been plagued with nightmares as a child, you remember that. There were sometimes you would be up with a nightmare at maybe 3 or 4 in the morning, and you just could not wait until the light pierced through your window again. Because you understand that need for hope. I think that that's how Christians are. We know what we are. We know that we're in this valley of the shadow of death. But it's through the veil of tears that we find the path of life. That's what Psalm 16 and verse 11 teaches. It says, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we have two choices in all of this. The first choice is, I can sow to the flesh in arrogance and then reap the corruption and the death that I deserve. Right? Or the second choice is, we can sow to the Spirit in tears and reap joy and everlasting life that I don't deserve. It's amazing that God would give us something that we don't deserve. And so in the first case, if I sow to the flesh, it's because I'm arrogant. It's because I'm very selfish. God is not considered in my life, and so my carnality is driving me. It's governing my thinking and my interests. That's why I fritter away all kinds of time on useless things. And so I reap corruption, everlasting death. Remember, Romans 8:13 addresses Christians. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will what?
Die.
But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, you will die in more ways than one. I mean, I know we're all going to physically die, but you're dying on the vine, so to speak. Everything in your life is shriveling up, and you don't have the eternal equity that God wants you to have in life. You're not living an eternal quality of life. Or we can sow to the Spirit in tears and reap joy and everlasting life we don't deserve. The Spirit leads us to the paths of life and light and even love. God, the Holy Spirit, promotes love in us so that we will be holy even as He is holy. God's children need to look like God more and more as they advance in years. There ought to be maturity there. The former things have passed away. All things have become new. And that new nature, it really desires and thirsts for spiritual things. And so a life that's devoted to God will never end. It's eternal. It is always seeking after God's mercy. Yes, it's fraught with suffering. Yes, we struggle from time to time, but we know that we've been set free from sin. And as Romans 6 and verse 22 says, having become slaves of God, you have the fruit to holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. That's eternal equity. And so we have sorrow and we have joy. I think there is no hope in many people in our world today, even Christians. I have dealt with a lot of Christians from time to time, and they are despairing, depressed, and without hope. And I think the reason is that we forget that if we continue, even as Christians, to sow to the flesh, then we're going to reap corruption. The whirlwind comes back to us, and we end up being very despairing. So even Christians today can get in a rut that is meaningless and useless. They forget the purpose for which they are here. A little bad weather, though, means that the farmer is going to continue to work. The farmer doesn't give up if he has a little bad weather, right? And so for us as Christians, we are not going to be discouraged, as the Galatians passage taught us. We're not going to be discouraged in well-doing because we know that if we continue to sow, that we will reap if we don't faint, if we don't lose heart. We continue to sow in tears to the Spirit of God, and we will reap joy and an abundant, everlasting life. I trust that the Lord will bring to mind these verses and teach us that even though sorrow and tears may be in our present, joy is coming in the morning. And know this, you don't have to wait to heaven to have that joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet together on a prayer meeting night. And Lord, it would be our desire that we would see others join us. Lord, we have witnessed you answer prayer and keep us stable, founded upon Christ, rooted in Him. through our efforts together and through mutual accountability in the local church. We pray, Lord, that we would be a people that attract others to Christ and not repel them. We pray that our lives would be different, but different in a positive way. And that we would understand the true nature of sowing and reaping in the Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and pray this evening. So we want to make